talk to you about the living faith of a dying thief. And appreciate y'all's prayers, and I know my mom appreciates them. If y'all didn't know, she had two hip replacements on the same hip in 3 days. So that was a bad thing. But doing pretty good. She's in a rehab center today, probably for a few days at least. But I appreciate the guys that preached. It's a blessing being able to go be with your parents and help them out and have some men that can fill the pulpit and preach and teach and do a good job at it. And I'm thankful for those guys, thankful for y'all's support and all that. And yeah, I'll tell you, back to Sunday school, that was a lot of information. And I don't know if I was just trying to balance it out this morning, but with all the information in Sunday school, I just got like a couple of notes for sermon this morning. I don't have a whole lot here, but yeah, maybe you'll really appreciate it, or I don't know. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. This is the living faith of a dying thief. And we go immediately here to the crucifixion and the men that are crucified beside Jesus Christ. And I guess if there is a deathbed confession, this would be what it is. This is sort of like that. And Luke chapter 23, verse 39, the Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition or condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." In this whole, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, there's so many things happening here. You would have to be, I don't know, if you were an eyewitness to all of these events going on, there would have to be some question in your mind about who is being crucified and what is happening. You've got a man who has said he is the Christ, he is God in the flesh, and now he's been hung on a cross, and with that the sky has turned dark, just pitch black. The veil in the temple is ripped from top to bottom, and you know some of the details of that. I guess it was, I don't know, 30 or 40 feet high, and just this cloth that was, I don't know, I've heard like 6 inches thick or something. Just a humongous veil that's separated between the holy place and the holy of holies, and that thing was ripped from the top all the way down to the bottom. And I mean, I imagine if you were a priest in that tabernacle, you would have to have some kind of questions about what is going on. And this thief here, Jesus Christ, gets crucified between two thieves. And I want to show you this morning, and I hope you can make some application with it. But this is the kind of faith that Jesus Christ approves of. This is the kind of faith he regards. This is the kind of faith that he accepts. And so this man who is dying beside Jesus Christ, he says a few things and believes certain things that make Jesus Christ respond and say, I will reward you for what you believe about me. And so let's consider a couple of thoughts this morning about this thief. And this is the living faith of a dying thief. The first thing that this thief says, at least that's recorded here, I mean, if you can just imagine the scene, you got two thieves beside Jesus Christ, two malefactors as they're called, and it's just a very gory scene. and Jesus Christ up there and fully capable and thinking and all of that. And one of these men says to Jesus Christ, he says, "Look, if you're the Christ, why don't you get yourself down?" And I read that and I kind of think, you know, maybe that's something reasonable people might say. If this is the Christ, why is he hanging here? Why doesn't he just do away with what's happening? Why doesn't he get himself off the cross and destroy his enemies? Why is he allowing himself to suffer in this way? And so I read that and I hear that conversation in my head, and I think, you know, that may be a reasonable thing to say something like that, or to think something like that. I imagine that, I mean, the disciples thought that. They wondered why Jesus Christ would go to a cross, and I mean, if he's the Messiah, if he's God in the flesh, why is he allowing this suffering to happen? And so that's sort of the reasonable thought, but maybe not so reasonable. If Jesus Christ is the Christ, and he is, and he is going to pay for the sins of the world, then this has to happen. This is the wages of sin is death. And so you got one thief, one malefactor, who questions this, and another gospel, it says they were both sort of talking and kind of mocking Jesus Christ, but one of them has a change of heart in all this. And he sees Jesus Christ, and I don't know what it is that changed his mind. You read about a few people that are around the cross that had their minds changed watching Jesus Christ die. They had their minds changed about who he was. There's a centurion that watches Jesus Christ die, and he says, "Surely that was the Son of God." And so he saw something within a few hours and a day of Jesus Christ hanging on a cross that changed his opinion about who he was. I don't know if what he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," or if it's how he died, or that the fact that he couldn't die, he wouldn't die, you couldn't kill Jesus Christ, he was going to have to give up his own life. So several folks around the cross, they had their minds and their opinions changed about Jesus Christ watching him die. One of them was this thief. And he says this over here in verse 40 in response to the first thief's, you know, "Why don't you get yourself off the cross?" The second man says this, "The other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?'" That's a pretty good way of living your life. I mean, not just dying this way. Here's a man who's dying, and his concern is, you know what, at this point in my life, I don't want to offend God anymore. I lived a life of offending God, and I surely, now that this body's about to go, I don't want to offend God any. I don't want to face God with the things I've done and thrown in his face. And it's a good way to die, but it's a good way to live. I remember getting saved, and I remember being called to preach and all those kinds of things. And in my life, I don't know if you can relate, maybe you can relate to this, but everything in my life from that point on, and even a little bit before then, everything in my life, the good, the bad, the all of it, was filtered through this, at least mentally, it's filtered through this relationship with God. And the question was, what does God think about what I'm doing? And it's not a bad way of live. It's a good way to live life. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean. It says the fear of the Lord is long life. It says the fear of the Lord does all of these things. And that's something that's lost. I think it's something that's lost these days. I mean, it's not just these days, but in people, in life, and centuries before in history, just in people. Just you get so many things going on, you don't even think about what God thinks about your life. And sometimes it doesn't even matter to you what God thinks about your life. Sometimes the emotions, the feelings, the pressures are so strong, you don't really care what God thinks because there's no immediate impact with God, but you feel these immediate pressures, and so I don't really think about what God thinks about my life. And here's a man who's dying, and now he's coming to terms with, you know what, I really need to think about what God thinks about my life. And that's a good way to die, but it's a good way to live. And he says, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same conditions?" You know, you fear, if you fear God, it'll keep you out of certain trouble. And you fear God, it'll keep you from doing certain things. It'll keep you from certain relationships. It'll encourage you to do certain things. It's not just don't do this, don't do this. It'll encourage you to do certain things. It'll encourage you to live a godly life. It's what you'll do in the dark. It's what you'll do when nobody's watching it, and you understand, hey, God has an opinion about my life. He actually has an opinion about my life. And most, I don't think, you know, a lot of folks don't think of it that way. That God actually has an opinion about your life. And he has some things to consider, and he has some input, and he has some wisdom that he wants to give you. And he has some thoughts on the decisions you and I make. And so here's this thief. The first thing about his faith, it's a faith that fears God. And his decisions are filtered through that mentality. What does God think about this? You know, if I make fun of this man here who is innocent dying, if I make fun of him, and I'm taunting and tempting and criticizing and scoffing this innocent man, and I'm a criminal and I'm getting what I deserve, what does God think about that? What am I? As a human being, what am I? Am I just a scoffer? I'm just a bad person? What am I? What am I in God's eyes? So he considers what the other thief didn't consider. He fears God. And the thief says, that one says, don't you fear God? Don't you think about what God thinks about your life? I mean, man, you're ready to die here. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. You're about to face God. Surely, surely you care what God thinks about your life. Maybe you should have cared before you got on the cross, but surely at this point in time, you have to have some concern because you're about to meet God. So here is a faith that fears God. I think about some of these deathbed confessions, and I remember going up to the hospital back when you could do that. Going up there, and there was a man that was, I mean, he was going to die. And they had the breathing apparatus on him, and he can't talk very well because all of his energy is being spent on trying to breathe, you know, and so he'll whisper something, things like that. And the family didn't know if he was saved or not, So went in there, and I talked to him, I visited with him, I held him by the hand, and I remember going through the gospel with him, and we got to a point, talked about sin, we talked about hell, we talked about Jesus Christ, we talked about forgiveness, and he would squeeze my hand at certain times, and just it was almost like a confirmation, you know, yes. And he'd squeeze my hand and he would try to say something and couldn't say anything. And it just, you know, there was not much communication, but the squeezing of the hand and the sort of grunts that were coming out. And so we went through the gospel and prayed with him. And you could see as he's laying there, you can see tears coming down his eyes, and he's just squeezing my hand as we're praying. And I mean, the family, they're all, well, is he saved? Do you think he's saved? And I said, he seemed to respond like he's saved. I mean, that's what he responded like. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I don't remember telling the family that. He seems like he's responding to the gospel. I mean, he's accepts it. I mean, he understands what needs to happen. And so, you know, we went through all that, and I left. But I just thought about it. I thought about what is it? What is it with people? You come to these times in your life, and it's like the way you ought to have lived your life, now all of a sudden you're going to start doing that here at the very end. It's just sort of, this would have been productive a long time ago to do this. This would have been productive years ago if you had done this. And now the family is concerned and things like that. And I mean, it was a good time and all that. But it just is so indicative of folks that you know, you live your life a certain way, and then kind of like Craig said last week, you know, you get in a bind, and then all of a sudden you want God to just show up and be there for you, and it's like, you know, it would have been helpful if you had been with him a long time ago. It would have been really helpful. It would have been helpful for your family if you'd have been doing it a long time ago. But now, you know, now we're in a crisis, and now we need help. But the Lord responds. He responds to this man. This man is thinking about things he needs to think about. He fears God, and asked his thief friend over there, don't you fear God? Aren't you worried about what God thinks about you as a person, as a human being? And then he says this, verse 41, not only faith that fears God, faith that honors Christ. I think it's raining. That's good. Amen to the rain. That's good. Means you're going to have to mow your yard. So, verse 41, faith that honors Christ. Not only faith that fears God, but faith that honors Christ. He says in verse 41, we indeed justly. So we're here because we deserve to be here. This man's not here because he deserves to be here. This man's here for another reason. We deserve this. For we receive, he said, the due reward of our deeds. Try to find somebody that says that. You know what that... We will defend ourselves to no end. I mean, it doesn't matter what a person has done. It doesn't matter what a person has done. They have a reason for doing it. You have a reason for doing it. I have a reason. We are so good at justifying ourselves. But here's a man. Here's a man who's not going to justify himself. He says, you know what, I'm on this cross and you're on this cross because we're getting what we deserve. This is what we deserve. We did bad things in our life and now this is the compensation for it. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. It's a faith that fears God. It's a faith that honors Christ. How does it honor Christ? Number one, he accepts his own condition. This is the condition I'm in. I accept this condition. I know I'm a sinner. I know my life has offended God. And I know when I stand before God Almighty, my sins are not taken care of. I got my soul's going to have to pay for it. He accepts his own condition, and along with that, he honors Christ's position in spite of what he sees, which I thought was very interesting. If you are watching, here's some things this man had to overcome. Number one, he's got to overcome what he sees. How is this man, the Christ, if he's hanging on a cross. So this thief has to overcome that picture, that graphic, bloody picture. And somewhere in his life, he knew Jesus Christ was coming, or Christ was coming, and somehow he had enough information to know this is the Lord. I don't know where he gets all that. He got it from somewhere. But imagine what he has to overcome. I mean, if you're looking at a man hanging on a cross, your first thought is not, well, that's the Christ. Your first thought is, that's a criminal. It's just like if you put somebody in an orange jumpsuit and put them in a courtroom, your first thought is criminal. That's your first thought. This guy's a criminal. You don't know anything about it. You don't know what's happened or hasn't happened. You put him in an orange jumpsuit, put him in a courtroom. That guy's a criminal. Probably your first thought if a man's hanging on a cross is, that guy did something to deserve that. No one would be hanging on a cross if they don't deserve that. So this thief has to overcome what he sees. You know what you're going to have to overcome in this world? You're going to have to overcome some things you see. You're going to see some things that don't fit with justice, that don't fit with righteousness. You're going to see some things that don't match up with what you think God's will ought to be. And there's going to be some pain that you're going to see and sometimes feel. And it's not going to line up with what you think God ought to be doing. And you know what you're going to have to overcome with a living faith? You're going to have to overcome what you see. He says over there, he says, the just shall live by faith. He says, faith, we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. You can't walk by sight. You can't, what do they say, believe, what is it, half of what you hear and nothing that you see? That's pretty good advice, because there's so many sound bites and, you know, edited videos and sort of, you know, everybody's got their agenda that they want you to commit to. And so that they'll arrange your information the way they want to arrange your information. And it happens on both sides. It's not just one side. It happens everywhere. Point is, you walk by faith and not by sight. If that thief walked by sight, the guy hanging next to him is not the Lord. The guy hanging next to him is a thief or some other criminal. So he overcomes what he sees. He overcomes the voice of his companion. And here's his companion saying, mocking Jesus Christ, hey, get down. If you're the Christ, get down. And this thief hears it, and he has to process all that information. He's got to consider not only what he sees, but what this man is saying. He has got to consider what the crowd has said about Jesus Christ. Crucify him. Get rid of this guy. Crucify him. And this man that's hanging on the cross that has living faith, he overcomes what he sees. He overcomes the voice of the crowd. He overcomes the voice of his companion here on the cross. He overcomes a lot of stuff that you and I in that position may not be able to overcome, that kind of stuff. We may succumb to the crowd. You know, the crowd says Jesus Christ is a criminal, so, you know, maybe he is. I mean, you and I know he's not, but if you were put in the crowd, you might say he is. He overcomes the voice of the crowd, the voice of his companions there. He accepts his own condition. He says, I am justified in hanging here. My punishment is just. And he looks at the other thief and he says, your punishment is just. But this man, he hasn't done anything wrong, yet he's on a cross. The living faith is faith that fears God. It's faith that honors Christ. And then, lastly, y'all be so happy for me about this. It's the last point here. It's a faith that gets results. After this man has looked to Jesus Christ, He accepted his own condition. He disregarded what he saw. He disregarded the crowd noise. He disregarded the accusation and the guilty verdict. He disregarded all that. And he looked to Jesus Christ and he said this. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What faith. What tremendous faith. Sometimes I think this man has, he has got some of the greatest faith in the Bible to overcome what he overcame. To ignore what he had to ignore to get to trusting Jesus Christ. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And you know what the Lord says? Y'all know because we just read it. Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So this man's faith, you can get some instruction from it. This man's faith is the kind of faith that God approves of. This is what God approves of. Someone who is willing to block out what they see, block out what they hear from the crowd, block out the opinions of Jesus Christ, block out the accusations of against Jesus Christ, and accept his own condition, and look to Jesus Christ, even though Jesus Christ is in a vulnerable position. I mean, you're looking at a bloody man on a cross and saying, this man is the Lord. That's some mighty faith. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the last thing is, this is the kind of faith that gets results. Say, I want my prayer life. I want my faith to get results. Well, this is the kind of faith that gets results. This man has overcome so much. He's on his deathbed, you could say, literally within a couple of hours of his death. And it just goes to show you when the Lord finds faith, it doesn't matter where he finds it, and it doesn't matter at what point in time in life he finds it. When he finds faith, he responds to that faith. That's the message of the Gospels. You go through the Gospels and you find people who are outside of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's going to the 12 tribes of Israel, and over you find Gentiles showing up. In fact, that's most of Matthew. You got these Gentiles, these outsiders keep showing up, and they keep looking to Jesus Christ for help, and he helps them. And the message is clear. I am willing to respond to faith anywhere, anytime I find it. This thief, he's a couple hours of death here. But he has he has overcome the things we've talked about. He's trusted Jesus Christ in spite of what he sees about Jesus Christ. You know, and that's kind of like what our faith has to be. You can trust, and you need to trust, and I need to trust Jesus Christ in spite of what we think we see of Jesus Christ. Well, where is God in all this? Why doesn't he get off the cross? Why doesn't he do something? Why isn't he active? Why is he so passive about my life? Why doesn't he intervene? Why doesn't he do stuff? Why doesn't he answer my prayer? And then that's oftentimes the place where you lose faith. I'm gauging my trust in God Almighty and the Lord based on my perception of how he ought to be acting. Just like that thief, if this guy's the Lord, he ought to be off the cross. That's the unfaithful thief. The other one says, "You know what? I'm gonna I know this is the Lord, and I don't understand what he's doing right now. I don't understand why he's allowing himself to go through this. I don't understand all of the working, moving parts of this, but I don't need to understand everything to trust this man. I'm going to trust this man and let him deal with all the moving parts and working things and all of that. And that's the thief, and the Bible says, Jesus Christ looks at him and he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's the faith I'm looking for. Faith that overcomes the world, faith that overcomes the voice of the companions, faith that overcomes the voices of the crowd, faith that overcomes the accusations against Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith that gets results. That's the kind of faith that gets results. And if at any point in time that faith breaks down, maybe the crowd got in your head. Maybe you started listening to all of the voices that were, I mean, there may be good people or whatever, but just who needs Jesus Christ in their life, that kind of thing. Maybe you started listening to all that kind of stuff and slowly Jesus Christ became less and less relevant to your life. Or maybe you got tired of asking. You asked Jesus Christ and you thought, I've asked enough times, I've talked to him enough, I've prayed enough about this. Well, I don't trust him anymore on this. I'm losing my trust in God. I'm getting bitter about God Almighty because things aren't working out the way I think they ought to be working out. Well, I mean, whatever it is that gets you derailed, the point is it got you derailed. It didn't really matter necessarily what it was. The devil will take what he can get. Whatever it takes to get you off track, I mean, that's what he'll do it. The world will do it. This man just, and maybe it's a little bit easier. Maybe it's a little bit easier to trust God in times like this when you consider the brevity of your own life. Maybe when you can see the end is near. Maybe if we got a picture of that. Maybe if we stop thinking, well, I got any time to do this. I can do this anytime. I can do this anytime I want to. Well, now the end is nearing like this thief on the cross. Maybe that helps you as a human being to sort of, you know what, I can trust him through this. Because I know it only gets better after this. I know it just gets better after this. And you know what, this little brief time on this earth, in this body anyway, it's brief. Surely I can trust him with my brief time on this earth, in this body. If you're saved, I mean, you know it only gets better. It just gets better from here. You understand this is, if you're saved, this right now is as bad as it gets. This is as bad as it gets. It only gets better after this. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe this thief, he understood, you know what, I got a couple hours left. Surely I can trust God and stop offending God with my life. Surely I can do this. Maybe that's something you and I can take to heart here. But you understand, I mean, this is a faith that God responds to. The living faith of this dying thief. It's faith that fears God. Put it this way, it's faith that considers God's opinion about my decisions. It's faith that regards God in everything I do. You think of those very simple verses. He says, in all things give thanks, and this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And he talks about being thankful for food. I mean, that is so basic. That is every day. You don't get any more basic than just eating and drinking. I mean, that's living. That's just existing. Lord talks about being thankful for those things. Faith that fears God. Faith that honors Christ. Here's a man who recognized his own condition and looked at Jesus Christ and said, I don't understand why he's hanging there, but I know he's the Lord. I know he's the Lord. So he honors Christ in spite of Christ's weakness, in spite of his expectations about what Christ would look like and be like and act like. That's us. You trust God through the things that, you know, I don't understand why he's doing this. I don't understand. You think about your own life. Those of you who've been saved a while, can't you remember, can't you look back, at least on some parts of your life, and say, you know what, at that time, I did not understand what was going on, but now, it really makes sense. It really makes sense now. I didn't understand, and it ought to help you the next time you encounter a circumstance where you don't understand what's going on. You know, I've been through this before. I didn't understand what was going on, but the Lord, I understood later on in life. It ought to help you get through some of that stuff. Faith that fears God, faith that honors Christ, faith that gives God, I love saying, I mean, it's so true, faith that gives God the benefit of the doubt. You and I give the benefit of the doubt to people who don't need the benefit of the doubt. We're so quick to jump to the criminal's aid. We're so quick to disregard God and throw away his opinion, yet validate somebody's opinion that, I mean, who knows? Oh, well, we got to get their side of it. What about God's side of it? Maybe God has a side of it. Maybe God has an opinion on it. But we're so quick to validate things in place of God. I mean, it's like God said this. Well, you know, that's one thing, but, you know, we need to really understand this. How about we need to really understand God's perspective? Maybe we need to figure out what God's thinking about it. Maybe it's time to give God the benefit of the doubt. Faith that honors Christ, that's the thief. You know what? I mean, he looks at Jesus Christ, and I'm sure he doesn't have it all figured out. He doesn't understand what's happening, but you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know this is the Lord. I don't understand what he's doing, but I know this is the Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the response from the Lord is, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Just showing you, this is the kind of faith that God responds to. This is the kind of faith that God respects. This is the kind of faith that God honors. It is a living faith from this dying thief. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this time together.